is on Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. I want to do what I did last time and read from verse 3 to 10, first of all. So, first of all, Matthew 5, 3 to 10, and then we'll turn to focus on verse 8. This is what Jesus said to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I'll ask you now to look particularly at verse 8. Blessed or happy, literally, are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Beatitudes are full of promise. If you look at them, they are full of promise. What Christ holds out to these, the kingdom of heaven, filled with righteousness, receiving mercy. These statements are full of great promise, of great blessing, called the sons of God. Amazing things. And also, not only are they full of promise, but these statements of Christ, these Beatitudes, they describe to us the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a child of God. When you read these things, Christ is telling us this is how the Spirit of God works in the soul of a child of God. This is a picture, if you like, of the born-again life. That's what he's talking about. Look at this. This is what it's like to have the work of God, the Holy Spirit, within your heart. Now, when we turn to verse 8, can I just say this to you as we begin? Blessed are the pure in heart, or the clean in heart, for they shall see God. That statement effectively sums up the whole Bible. It's all in that statement. If you think about it, what was the purpose of God in the creation and anticipating, if you like, the fall? His purpose in redemption. What is his purpose in creating these things and then redeeming the people? What is it? Is it not that they should see God? That's the, if you like, that's the purpose of God. It's the goal of history. That we should see God. And so you see, we have effectively in this little verse two great blessings from God. What are the two blessings from God in this verse? One, that his children will see God. The second one is that he will give them a pure heart. I'll come back to this in a moment, but I want you to notice he doesn't say to them, I am now commanding you to purify your own hearts. That's not what he says. He's saying there will be those who are of a pure heart. And let me anticipate, that pure heart is a gift of God to his children. It's something that he does rather than what we do. So here we are, two great blessings of God held out before us, that we will see God and that he will give us a pure heart. So first of all then, the words, they will see God. They will see God. Now, such a truth, they will see God, such a truth is repeated and a little bit with expanded upon in Revelation chapter 22. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 22. Listen. John is being shown, if you like, the eternal future of the people of God. And there shall be no more curse. But listen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. We'll come back to that. They shall be called the sons of God, but they shall see his face. And it goes on, and there shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp, nor light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, in Revelation, we are being shown, if you like, the outcome. They shall see God. And I want you to notice this morning that the Bible isn't, when it says, when Christ says they shall see God, he's not talking about a momentary glimpse. Just a brief, as it were, glimpse of God, and then it's all over. A glimpse from afar. It's not that that he's talking about. He is talking about being received into his presence and brought into a permanent, loving, close communion with God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, the great relationship of a loving father with his precious child or children. That's one picture given in the Bible, that God is our Father and a loving Father, and he intends to bring his children into his bosom, as it were. And another picture is a picture of the husband who takes his beloved bride. These are the pictures that God has given us to try to teach us what it means. They shall see God. Now, this is surely, to anyone who is thinking, this is surely an astonishing statement. It is astonishing because God himself is pure and holy. One of the great truths of Scripture everywhere is that our God is holy, holy, holy. When they built the tabernacle, the tent of worship, there in the, as it were, the inner recesses of the temple was the Holy of Holies. The most holy place upon earth. There it is, that symbol of the presence of God. You know, Isaiah had a glimpse of his glory, and he said, what were they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. This is the truth about God. He is pure and holy. The prophet Habakkuk says, you are of purer eyes than to see evil, and you cannot look upon iniquity. This is the nature of the God that his children will see and be in his presence. Listen to Paul. As Paul speaks about our God, he says, he is the blessed and only potentate, the despot, the sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, listen, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honour and everlasting power. Amen. Put those things together. Paul says, you know him. He dwells in unapproachable light. No man can see him. No man has seen him. And yet Christ comes and says, blessed are the pure, clean in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. This ought to be astonishing. The prospect of the creatures of the dust. You know, Isaiah talks about the nations of the world. He says, they don't count. When you weigh stuff on a weighing scales, you don't dust off the dust. It doesn't matter. He says, the nations of the earth like dust before the Creator, before God. To whom will you liken me, says the Lord? And not only that, but we have to take into account, and maybe not completely this morning, but the utter barrier of sin. The prophet says, you're of purer eyes than to see iniquity or to see evil. I mean, it's in a nutshell, that prophet is saying, Lord, you are so holy that you can't bear to look upon men, upon nations, upon sinful nations. So this is what the Lord is saying. He's effectively saying, my disciples, my born again brothers and sisters, they're going to see God. But then that's the first blessing here. And the second blessing is this, that God gives his children a pure heart. Now this is terribly important. The scripture, I think I want to say four things about this. The first thing is this, God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Did you see what Christ said to the scribes and Pharisees? He says, you are very concerned with washing your hands and keeping the rules of the elders. And Christ is indicating to them, that's not his concern. His concern is not with dirty hands, but with a filthy heart. He speaks to them in Mark. He speaks to them in Mark and in Matthew. It's recorded. He talks to them like this. He says, "You are like a dirty cup." I almost wanted to bring a cup today, full of coffee stains, and ask you if you'd like to drink from a dirty cup. Christ says, "That's what you're like. You clean the outside of the cup, but you forget to wash the inside of the cup." He's talking about your heart. Christ says that to the Pharisees. He says, you're like a dirty cup. He uses another picture. He says, you're like a tomb. Now in those days, and now I think if you go to the Mount of Olives, you'll see many graves. And they're all beautifully kept and white. He says, you're like whitewashed tombs. In other words, you're beautiful outside, but inside are just dead men's bones. And you know, the point there is that death is unclean. The dead body is unclean. He says, that's what you're like. And you see, Christ and God are concerned. They're concerned with what's going on in the heart of sinful man. We need to take account of Mark 7 because God sees the heart. Christ could come and say to them, I can see what's going on in your heart. I know what comes out of the heart of man. Well, all those terrible things. Blasphemies, adultery, deceit. That defiles a man. So that's the first thing. God is concerned and Christ is concerned with what's happening in the heart of men. But then the second thing we need to think about here is that it is the Holy Spirit's work to create a clean heart in any man. This is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. David, King David, when he had sinned terribly, in committing adultery and murder, breaking the commandments of God, he prays like this, part of his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And I want you to notice the word create. The word create, see his words, create in me a clean heart, O God. The word create is only ever used of God. And it speaks about bringing something into existence that didn't exist before. And so David, when David says, create in me a clean heart, he's saying, I lack this. This has not been found in me before. It's creation out of nothing. Out of nothing. David doesn't pray to God, will you improve my heart? Will you make me better? He says, I need a new heart, and it is God the Holy Spirit who creates a new heart. Now, I come back to this point. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, he is not thinking about what I do to myself. He's not thinking about what we do within us. He's thinking about God's work in them. It is this work of the Spirit of God to create a clean heart in a man. It cannot be created in any other way. Scripture after scripture speaks about this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's like you have to start all over again. You need to be a new person. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if any man is in Christ, what? He is a new creation or a new creature. All things have passed away. That's what we're talking about here. So, God is concerned with the heart in each one of us, and it is the Holy Spirit who creates a clean heart in a man. And really, when you think about what is it that the Holy Spirit is doing? What does he do? Well, he is, as it were, purging out the corruption of evil thoughts and evil desires. It is, if you like, the evil must go out. The lies of the devil, and this is very important, the lies of the devil and the deceptions that we have received must be put out. And even a pure heart in another place is described as an undivided heart. What is this about? It is that all the idols that we bring in and erect alongside God must be put out, and he must be God alone of our whole souls. This is the work that the Spirit is doing. In a child of God, he is attacking, so to speak, the evil. He is dispelling the darkness, and he is bringing that heart wholly to be the Lord's. That's the work. So that's this. And then fourthly and finally, how does the Holy Spirit do this work? We need to know how he does it. How does the Spirit of God create in me and you a clean heart? Well, he does it in two ways, I suppose, two ways. First of all, he does it by the Word of God, or by the Word of Christ. In one sense, everything revolves around the Word. Right? And you'll find this in lots of different places. Let me read to you what Jesus said to his disciples before he was crucified. Listen. The Helper, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, what will he do? He will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He is presenting truth to you. And he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have spoken to you. Jesus goes on later. This is interesting, isn't it? In John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, that's a verse we need to come back to, and I won't tarry with it, but you are already clean because of, it says, because of the word that I have spoken to you. He says, abide in me and I in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to plant the living word of God in the soul of man. One more, listen. He says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's what counts, you see. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What is the Spirit of God doing? He is taking the truth. He is taking the words of Christ. He is taking what belongs to Christ and Christ himself and glorifying him in the heart, bringing the word of God into the heart. You know, some people think that the pure in heart, purity in heart means sincerity. Let me tell you this. Many people are sincere, and they are sincerely wrong. There are loads of people in this world, you might say, well, look at that man there. He's a sincere man. It's got nothing to do with it. It's about the truth that matters. The truth in the heart. That's what the Spirit gives, and that will make a man sincere. But it's the truth that counts. So the work of the Spirit is to give to the children of God the truth in their hearts. It says in Jeremiah, doesn't it, about writing the law in the inward parts. This is the work of the Spirit. But then, it's not finished. Because at last, when Christ returns, the Holy Spirit, if you like, will work with us with more power, because whereas we have walked by faith and not by sight, the day will come when we see him. And when a child of God sees God and sees the Son of God, it is the Holy Spirit, as it were, who brings that into the soul of the man. Listen what John wrote in his first letter. This is what he wrote. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But here are the words, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. You see, that's the work of God, eventually to bring us into the presence of God, where we see him as he is. And the impact of that upon us is that final transformation in glory. We shall be like him. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of this, as it were, is comprehended in this little statement from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the clean in heart, for they shall see God. John goes on to say this. He says, everyone who has this hope. In other words, if you have the hope that you will one day see God, it says, this is the effect it has upon you in your life. It says, he purifies himself. He purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, I said earlier on that Christ is not commanding us to purify ourselves. He's not coming in the Beatitudes and saying, now, you purify yourself and then one day you'll see God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying these are the blessings that are held out to the children of God to see him and to have a clean heart. These are the blessings of God to you. But you must receive them. They must come, as it were. It's the Holy Spirit that brings these things to you. And when the Holy Spirit is active in your heart, then he creates in you that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that desire to, as it were, to purify yourself, to prepare to see the Lord. In one sense, our life, isn't it not a preparation for the day when we see God? And we come as sinners, knowing that we're unworthy to see him, unworthy to be admitted to his presence. But we come and we know that Jesus Christ died for sinners. And we come to him as sinners and there receive the forgiveness of sins. We see him, as it were, with the eye of faith at Calvary, and say, there the Lamb of God was crucified that I might be forgiven in the sight of God. And from that time, we seek the work of the Holy Spirit more and more day by day, that we may grow in Christ, grow in grace. Part of the great business of our life is to, as it were, to hear the word of God and to take it in. The Christian hears this read and preached and he says, I must have more of this, because this has come from the mouth of my God, and it will be in my mouth and on my heart. And so there we are. These two great blessings, they do effectively call us to a certain path of life. Blessed are the clean in heart. Thank God for the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, for they shall see God. Let us watch and pray and wait for him. He will come. Amen.